This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanas. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where...
where we bump the mics with our knees.
And we talk about the week in politics like we're talking about reality TV.
And the news so far in 2018 has been nothing but sensational reality show style gossip.
It's true.
And shit stalking.
Shit stalking. Why don't you stop shit stalking me with your shit?
Exactly. It's like Nene wrote a book about candy fingering Portia, and now everyone is just talking about a story we already knew from a book that doesn't even really matter from an author who sucks.
That's right. That book. Ooh, that book. All anybody's talking about is that book. Then, keeping with the Housewives theme, there was the Golden Globes and all the ladies wearing black and Oprah's big speech.
The only fucking news going on is that
time's
book.
Time's up! Your time is up! Your time is up!
Meow, meow.
Time's up!
Meow, meow, want to do this for her, so there's that.
Time's up!
But I had to say, no, this needs to be at the
time top is of the show. Up.
Because your time's up, Pee-wee. You know what happened when I watched the speech?
What?
Only on YouTube, because I don't watch award shows ever.
Yes, I did too. Yeah.
I looked right down at Pee-wee, who was on me.
And you said?
He said, your time is up, motherfucker. Time is up, bitch.
Nacho, time's up.
Yeah.
Dumpling, time's up.
Yeah. That's right. Their time has been up, but they don't know.
Oh, yeah. They never even realized from this time they came into my house, their time never was.
That's right.
They ain't no man ever had no time in my house.
Well, I know that my time is up because the whole time she was talking about...
Your time.
Oh, the whole God. Time she was talking about her, like, you know, basically it was like a Me Too kind of speech. It was it was addressing the Me Too phenom.
I have to say, the way she came around to the end of no one's ever going to have to say Me Too again, drop the mic. Thank you. Good night. That was fucking phenomenal. It really was.
It really was. And then poor Alfred Molina.
Oh, had the line. No, they had to show. It's like they're showing women looking in their eyes, glistening, and gentlemen smiling gently.
Yeah, and then she's...
They showed Denzel's face like four times trying to get some kind of emotion out of that motherfucker. Nothing.
He should not have shaved his facial hair.
They should never have showed him because he looked angry.
Yeah. Barbara Streisand was completely disinterested. We know her whole... you know, long and sordid history, which fits into a big giant suitcase full of baggage with Oprah and the white fucking microphone and going on the Oprah show and her diva behavior. And then when all the diva shit started, and she's sitting there with complete and utter disinterest.
Yeah.
And then at the very culmination of the speech, if you look, and you guys all go back and look, because I know Julie's already watched it two times, her little lesbian vagina needs to like pump up, get swollen, it throbs. Mm-hmm. And if you do a screenshot, or don't even do a screenshot, just push pause, press the space bar, and look. Barbara Babs looking away. She's looking like this. She's looking to the left.
God.
And everyone else is staring enraptured at Oprah, and she's looking to the left. And then it shoots, no one's ever going to have to say Me Too again. And it looks at, there's a shot of Alfred Molina. I'm like, poor him. He gets the shot
The man.
He gets the shot of the man. Like, don't you fuck with us, Alfred Molina, goddamn predator.
We knew you were there, Alfred. We knew you were there. Who knew it was going to be Alfred Molina next? No, the men were really keeping it together, smiling, being supportive, clapping, being like, I never did. I support women. I've never done anything horrible to them at all. I've only been gentlemanly and kind. I could only consent. Consent, consent, consent. I'm nothing but a gentleman. Every one of those motherfuckers in the room had to fucking think about that one time at least.
You know what? They made somebody feel like a piece of shit. You want to know what I was thinking about? You were there. Your vagina's throbbing on fleek.
Yes.
Your feminism's like blowing up. You're texting me. Last night I was like, I can't be bothered with that. I got to deal with that in the morning. I watch it. Pee-wee's on me. I'm like, the whole time I'm like this. That motherfucker, Oprah Winfrey, looks so good.
Amazing. I told you in my text, I said to you, it's the best she's ever fucking looked.
I'm like, we're watching a speech about women's time and men's time being up, and all I'm doing is A, sexualizing her, B, I'm staring at her glasses. I'm like, those fucking glasses, and she hired the best architect in the world, and then got the best makeup artist in the world, and they came together, and they examined her bone structure, and then they built a pair of eyeglasses.
Yes.
They are so pitch perfect on her fucking face to her bone structure.
Yeah.
I was examining, I was pausing, I was like, these glasses, I don't even understand. They cost more than we've ever made.
Ever.
I mean, our whole life's income combined.
Yes.
These glasses cost more. And I was like this, if one person texts, tweets, comments on the Patreon, black don't crack, you're blocked, cupcake, because I don't want to fucking hear it. The bit black does crack, and so does Asian, and so does white, and so does every skin. Oprah, I don't know. This bitch has, she takes a barge out into the middle of the fucking ocean. She sends down divers. They get sculp. And is that a word? Kelp?
Kelp is a word. Kelp. But I think you said sculp.
I said culp.
Oh.
They get
culp. Wait, culp? Are you mean kelp?
Yeah, I meant kelp. But they get culp too. No one even knows it exists. They get culp.
Down here we have culp. We don't have kelp. We've got culp.
That's a pirate.
Are you looking for culp? Yeah, well, it's only in one place and you're only going to find it over here in the culp.
She smooths it on her skin and it's just fucking in, I don't know. And was that a wig? I don't know what's going on. It was, the woman is a vision.
I mean, she looked amazing. I can't
even handle.
She looked amazing.
What a goddamn vision
And I know she's been doing Weight Watchers, so her weight's at like a place that's obviously good and whatever. And she just looks amazing.
Cannot even deal.
She looks so young and fresh and rested and healthy and beautiful and just, I was like, God. Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking of the whole time.
Wow.
Like, she's like, women, we're more than what we look like. And she didn't even say that, but I'm like, you're so beautiful. How did you get that beautiful? Dear Oprah, I can't even deal. And then they're showing all these clips of like Donald Trump when he was on her show in like 1988. Oh, yeah. And it comes on and I'm like this. Look at Donald Trump compared to now. This bitch, same.
The same. Better. I think better. She looks better than she's ever looked.
I thought though, when my mom used to tape Oprah, she'd tape All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, Oprah. Okay. Yeah. Every day. This is 4 hours of TV me and this bitch had to watch every night.
Yeah.
And believe you me, we did it on a VHS. And I thought Oprah was so, my mom was obsessed. And I thought she was so pretty and so just one of those people. I mean, obviously everyone thinks it. You just, your eyes glue to her. I don't care. She's fat, skinny. Only time I'm not into it is when she's not in makeup and she's like beat down looking and weird looking.
Right.
I love when she's pooched and in the lighting. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't care what and weight. It doesn't have anything to do with weight.
Right. No, no. And also she just, and the voice.
Oh, the voice.
The voice.
The voice.
The voice. The voice. The voice is what's going to carry her into the presidency. Now, that goddamn voice.
Before we go to that, don't you think that I should have been involved in the writing? Didn't you think this was the key of the century? Is that she should have said when she was yelling?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, you never have to say me too. You get a pass. You don't get a pass. Like she's giving the gift. I don't even remember what my joke was now. But
no,
it was
that's
like,
right. Right.
It was like, your time is here. You get the time. You get the time. Well, then your time is up. Not you. Give out the gifts, like do the joke of the thing, because she was doing the yelling. She was doing the yelling.
Yes, yeah, no, it would have been, amazing. Everyone would have lost their goddamn minds.
I mean, you've got to do it. The bitch is doing the yelling. We haven't heard it in
so long. It just was.
I'm going to say though, I don't want her to run for president.
Okay,
but you can say that you do. I like your honest plebeian views on this.
Such an asshole. I think currently in our current state right now, she's a pretty viable candidate, but it could change. You know,
well,
not like
point,
I said
dumpling,
earlier,
dumpling is a viable.
That's
candidate.
True. But like I said earlier, I think more than anything, even though I said like, God, she's going to fucking run president and I'd vote for her. However, I think what's really happening is
in the this is the first time in a year or since we've had Obama where somebody has given a speech that has truly been inspiring. She's the really the only one. I mean, we've had little ones. We had the women's marches. And we had little ones here and there. But we haven't had somebody stand in front of a microphone for 10 minutes and give that kind of speech where you felt like, oh, my fucking God, a new day is dawning.
Yeah.
And she gave that
song, a new dawn, a new day, it's a new life. God. American Idol's coming back. We're going to have to hear that every week.
Oh, every week. Sharon. But I think that's the thing. And that's why everyone's like, is she going to run for president? Is she going to run for president? Because how it's the first time we've all felt the feeling. Yeah. Like whether or not it's like we don't. Okay, maybe she shouldn't run for president, but she's obviously inciting the feeling that we want in our president.
What she should do is bring back the goddamn Oprah show, the way they're bringing back American Idol and Will and Grace and every show and Roseanne. Just bring the Oprah show back. Call it the Oprah Winfrey Show. Go back to the same set. In fact, go back to the set from the 80s and do the shit and have Gail there and do the Oprah show because we need a guiding star. We need a guiding light. That's what we need. And you know what we don't need? Another rich celebrity who doesn't know dick about politics.
We honestly don't.
I don't need the Mercers and the Cokes and the guy who does PayPal.
That's true.
The fucking guy who owns Tesla. We don't need every dick fuck with money coming in and thinking they can bust in. And popularity does not equal like the ability to do that position. And we need presidents.
We need President Skew.
Somebody needs to invent President Skew. And if you didn't go to President Skew, you're not being president, bitch. And if she wants to go to President Skew, she can.
And she could.
Go to President College.
Could go to President
Skew. Go to Presidential College.
Yeah, go. But you're right. That's the guiding light feeling that we're feeling.
Yes.
That's the feeling. So, and that's what we're missing. And she brought it. And now we have it.
And she, well, and now she needs it's to bring like, back the show. Because I'm not trying to get on 2020 or whatever the fuck she's on and listen to it. I want to see the Oprah show.
60 minutes? You don't want to watch a scathing expose with Oprah for 20 minutes?
No, I want to watch her interview Tyler Perry about how he was molested 14 times. And then line up the guys. And then, you know, you gaying it up, watching it every day.
You know who I want to come back is Phil. Phil
Donahue.
He was my fave of all time.
What about Sally, Jesse, Raphael?
I mean, I like Sally. I watched them all.
What about Ricky Lake? Oh, yeah. No, but Oprah. Oprah's your favorite of all time.
Well, Oprah's my fave, but Phil Donahue really was exciting. Sally, Jesse, great. Ricky Lake,
I don't need any of them back, but Oprah. Phil can bug. He's like 900 years old.
He's
best thing old. About him is Connie Chung. No, he was great.
No, though. No, you're thinking of. You're not thinking. You're
thinking of Maury Povich.
I'm not talking about Maury Povich.
I know.
If you think about Phil Donahue's wife is Marlo Thomas.
Oh, Marlo Thomas.
And Marlo Thomas, of course, was killing.
That's the best thing about him too.
With St. Jude's. There's nothing that comforts me more, especially when I'm on the road, is when I'm laying in the bed and at 3 a.m. I hear, no, hold on, no child should. No child should ever, ever have to be alone during cancer. Here at St. Jude's.
Sounds kind of like Susan.
Here at St. Jude's, we have made it. She sounds like cancer.
That is
she
so
literally
soothing,
sounds
though,
like
that,
cancer.
I'm not going to lie, it is making me feel soothed.
Oh, I'll keep the TV on all night when I'm in a hotel room. And that shit will, and then I'll just wake up and then I'll hear. Like, no child will ever pay one penny for their cancer research here at St. Jude's. And I'm like, is she the voice of cancer? She's literally the voice of cancer. Like, she said, and I love Marlo Thomas's Free to Be You and Me. She's the original, me, you know course, what I mean? She's everything. But, I mean, that voice, but she's married to Phil Donahue. I love them as a couple. All right, anyway.
All right, well, let's just discuss some presents. We got some gifts.
Okay.
My birthday is coming up January 19th. and it's like a couple days after Michelle Obama. Same day as Janis Joplin, Edgar Allan Poe. I'll talk about this again next week. But we did. I got a present from Andy Ani, our British intern. and I want you to know especially since I just got this very expensive gift, if you want me to sign papers saying that you're the Dumb Gay Politics intern so that you can come and be an American citizen, I will happily do that.
Ooh, that'd be exciting if we could do that for somebody.
I would love to commit like border fraud.
Whatever.
What's it called when you come into this country?
Yeah, let's commit border fraud.
Yeah, what's it called? Like everybody says.
Immigration fraud?
Yeah, immigration fraud. I mean, we could
if
marry.
If you need me to marry you, I'll do that.
But for money. We're going to need more money for that. And I'm going to need some of it even if Julie marries you. So she sent me a very, very baller gift, you guys. And it was very touching. So, and it's like, I want to say that I can't be bought, but I really can. I really, really can. So it's an Obama, it's a coffee table book that's huge and expensive because mm-hmm. we did look at the jewelry. I said, God, this looks expensive and it's so heavy. It probably, I mean, honestly, it cost more to just ship probably. Than we've made on this podcast. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then I go, God, this is expensive. I mean, I don't even know. This is probably so much to ship. And mm-hmm. it wasn't shipped directly from the publisher because it had a card and it had.
Oh, it was definitely from her.
Yeah. And it had other little.
International Post.
Like, yeah, international. You guys, the book weighs 900 pounds. It's a huge coffee table book. Yeah. And Julie goes, oh, I'll tell you exactly what it costs. And she looked at it, looked on the back, and it was very expensive. And then it's a huge coffee table book of photographs of Obama.
Gorgeous.
By Pete Souza, who's like the White House photographer. And it's just, I mean, like, I couldn't be fucking happier. It's probably, like, going to be the best birthday gift I get. I'm like, glowing.
All right, let's relax.
Okay. My Pam's over there like, well, what?
I know there's a handful of people that are sitting around like, yeah, right, let's just take it down a notch.
The competition's on. The competition is on. Diamonds, gold, facials, massages. Later
tonight, I'm going to be throwing away everything.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, Julie's got me. Garbage. She got me a framed just Obama. Kidding. The Obama Hope poster. She got me tons of Obama things. But
that is definitely the best gift that you're going to get.
So I forgot what I was going to say about it, but I forgot what my train of thought. But anyway, yeah. So thank you so much for that. It was really, I really loved it.
Yeah.
And then we got a gift from Catherine Nolan, a.k.a. Basic Butch Cat. So she's like long time, like friend and fan and listener or whatever. And she's up on the Patreon. And now... Here's the time to hawk the Patreon. So go ahead and flush it fucking 15 cents fex forward.
Hey guys, fucking 15 cents forward, okay? Like fucking get your 15 fucking cents forward.
But
okay?
I bet you know what I meant. What I mean, meow meow.
I know what you mean. Like get your what?
No,
you know.
No. How did you teach me to fast forward on during podcasts when we listen and you don't like stuff?
You mean the scrubbing through?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, you taught it to me. What does it look like?
It looks like it goes, like, press the button and push it forward.
It's on a little, it's little circles
yeah.
on either side if you're listening on your phone. And if you push it, it goes, it dips 15 seconds.
Oh, like the bat thing.
Forward or backwards. Right. Not scrubbing it forward. Like, it's a little.
50, yeah, I know what you mean.
So Julie will, like, we'll listen to a podcast together and she'll be like, she'll cut through the beginning. Which, as we all know, is sacrilege. Like, I certainly hope nobody's cutting through, uh-huh, it's all shit. Like, God forbid someone's like, I gotta get through this. I can't with this song. It's like, you're not in the right place if you can't with that song. Mm. But you know the one we listen to where you're like, nope, nope, nope. You hit it four times
yeah,
and you're
I
done.
Can't. You're through. I can't. I'm not. I just can't. Even if I love it, I can't. You know, there's only, what can I tell you? What can I tell you?
So, if you guys want to hit the 15-seconder and go after this, this is the Patreon time. So, basically, we talk about on Patreon... all tons of tragic, pointless, meaningless shit. And one of the things we got into, and honey, it got deep, was Papa John's pizza.
We got to handle that. We got to handle that.
Because Julie didn't know that it comes with this dipping sauce. Oh. We're not going to get into it here. If you want to know the shit, go on the Patreon. You'll find it all out.
But
we went deep on Papa John's. And then we got deep into how in Texas people dip pizza in ranch. And they'll dip a goddamn turd in ranch. And I will too. And I fucking love ranch. And so... Catherine Nolan freaking sent us this box of spices from, where is it from? Penzi's Spices of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Whoa.
And it's baller-ass
spice. Wauwatosa.
Is that how you say it?
No, I don't know. I like the way you say it, though.
It's baller-ass spices.
It's really nice. I can't wait to try it.
There's a buttermilk ranch.
I'll be doing that. Which,
meow meow's doing all this. There's a creamy peppercorn.
Nice.
Okay, there's an Italian, which I know you
my
love
fave.
An oily. Yep, no, but your favorite is this, and this really took the cake. Kath, and you didn't know, fucking, or Kat, I think you go by Kat. Green Goddess is in here.
Oh, God. Green Goddess is so delicious.
I know, and I've never had it homemade.
It's so good.
Only at, like, you know, like a nice, you
like
know.
Like a nice vegan restaurant
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly, what your home's going to turn into. It's beautifully packaged with, like, cinnamon sticks and weird nuts we didn't recognize, and I made Mamma take a bite of one, and she goes, it tastes like cinnamon. Is it cinnamon? And then we're like, oh, it's just with cinnamon. We never knew. Was it a chestnut? Was it a fucking...
I don't know.
We never knew. But anyway, it was really sweet, and I just... read what the card said.
Okay, the card says, I hope you like this stuff. It is my fave, along with day drinking and DGP. If it brings you a fraction of the joy that you've brought me, I will consider that a win. Love you so much. Well...
love you so, so much.
Then it's a win.
What a sweet ass... It is a win. We
really
loved
sweet.
It, and very touching, and we love your card, and thank you so much. And you know what? Thank you for being a part of the Patreon because it means a lot to us, and that's how we make our money. So if you guys want to be part of the Patreon too and be part of people that mean something to us, who care about us and support us, go to www.patreon.com. motherfucker.
I'm sorry, I'm sick. You should know that I'm sick, and it's only through the Patreon that I'll be alive. I'll survive.
This is how we're going to get, you know what?
Go ahead.
Sick people will not pay for $1 of their sickness through the Patreon. If you want to be... Kids don't want to pay for their care.
Here at the Patreon, we make sure that no adult who doesn't make money has to pay for their own health treatment. If you have the flu as an adult here at Patreon, the Patreon will pay for all of your drugs and your health care and your Band-Aids and whatever else you might need. I've gone through all the Kleenex.
Okay. I know. Nuh-uh. We haven't done all the Kleenex that Ann sent us.
There's still two boxes,
yeah. So,
but I'm going through it very fast.
We're going through all the toilet paper. All right, let's get to Eye of the Shitstorm.
You take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some fuck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
All right, so the moment the clock struck midnight on the last day of 2017... A shitstorm started abroad. It's a shitstorm that is so violent and so shitty that it has dominated the news for the entire first week of 2018.
Hey, it's 2018. Get it straight.
Right, sorry. It's still dominating the news, in fact, with no signs of slowing down. And the ironic part is there isn't any actual news or facts in this shitstorm. It's all hearsay and rumors and gossip and conjecture that have all been compiled into a book called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House by Michael Wolff.
The book was officially published and available for public purchase on January 5th, but it was pre-released to specific members of the press who began reporting on it as early as January 2nd. I know I saw that shit. Like, I felt like New Year's Day. Oh, I was like, cut the shit out. It actually wasn't supposed to even be released until the 9th, but they moved up the date because... people were blowing up at Amazon. Old fucking Jeff Bezos or whatever his dumb fuck name is was just like, ching, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, coins, just cling, cling, coins cling, going in. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
It's the number one bestseller in print, ebook, and audiobook on Amazon. That's crazy. Has that ever even happened? I don't think so. I don't think it has either.
I don't think so.
Because that's fine. Maybe everybody's going to fucking masturbate to 50 Shades of Grey on their Kindle, but it wasn't in all forms. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean. An audiobook. Did she put 50 Shades of Grey in audio?
Ew. Oh my God. I never even thought about it. Gross. I'm going to see. Gross.
And then Christopher. What's his name?
Christian.
Then Christian.
No, let's call him Christopher Grey. Actually, that's a casting guy in LA. Christopher Grey.
And then Christopher Grey asked me to come into the casting.
Nyack.
Oh, I love it when you punch me in the face, Nyack.
You could have been... the reader of the audiobook.
Oh my God, I would have died. Anastasia? I would love it.
Christian?
I'm just a virgin. I don't know what to do. Can you show me what to do, Christian? Your annoying. Jet is so amazing.
Your what? Your gut?
Jet.
Your jet. No, he's a helicopter, bitch. See the movie.
Your helicopter is so invigorating.
God, I saw the movie theater on Valentine's
Day.
No
man has ever treated me so horribly. And yet it's so intrigued.
God, I've never been with someone so rich.
Oh,
that's what she meant.
So rich. God, it's so turning me on.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to, you're going to punch me? That's fine.
You beat her with a belt.
Beat me with a belt. I love it.
He's like, I'm going to punish you. She's like, and literally in the movie, she's like this, but for what? I don't really get. What have I done? Exactly. Ugh, I'm a virgin. All right. Okay, go, bitch.
If you haven't heard about this book,
congratulations.
You've been living off the grid for the past week. For those of you hashtag blessed individuals who still don't know anything about this, here's the official Wikipedia description of the book.
And you're reading it, bitch. So get your throat cleared and your nose sniffed.
All right. Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House by Michael Wolff. By Michael Wolff is a book which details the behavior of U.S. President Donald Trump and staff of his 2016 presidential campaign and White House. The book highlights unflattering descriptions of Trump's behavior, chaotic interactions among senior White House staff, and derogatory comments about the Trump family by former White House chief strategist Steve My face constantly is bleeding Bannon. Trump is depicted as being held in low regard by his White House staff, leading Wolf to state that 100% of the people around him believe Trump is unfit for office.
This is Wikipedia. That's the blurb that Wikipedia took from the book. 100% of the people around him believe he's unfit for office. Wow. A wowzer. Okay, so the author Michael Wolff is a well-known author and columnist. He's written for USA Today and The Hollywood Reporter. He won a bunch of different journalism awards. He authored 7 books, including one called The Man Who Owns the News, which is a biography about Rupert Murdoch. According to Wolff, when he approached Donald Trump about writing a book on his presidency, Trump agreed to give him complete access to the White House because he liked an article Wolff wrote about him in June 2016 for The Hollywood Reporter. That just, you know it's true because it sounds so like something Donald Trump would do, right?
Yeah.
I wish Anthony Tamanic was here to do that in his voice. Like, oh yeah.
God. He wrote a thing about me and I loved it and I thought, blah, blah, yeah.
Trump now claims that he, of course, never authorized access for Wolff and never spoke to him for the book, even though Wolff was wandering around the West Wing and hung out on the couch there for basically all of 2017.
Oh, God. I mean, and it's all the news now. It's the only thing on the news, and it isn't even actual news. And all anyone is doing is talking about the gossip that's in the book, and they will ad nauseum. All of them are talking just about, do you think, who said this, and what did they say, and how did they say, and do they believe it? And is he unfit, and is he mentally unstable, and is he... It's the same shit they've been talking about for the last year. There's nothing new.
The other comment they're doing is, well, the other, like, strain of it is, would it have been news, even though obviously yes, motherfuckers, because you're making it news because ain't nothing going on but the rent, and you just got back from vacation, Rachel, Wolf, Chris Matthews, other guy that looks like Rachel Maddow, Chris Hardball. Chris, what's his fucking name?
Oh God, why can't I just think of his name too?
You know, it's a Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hayes.
Chris Hayes. See, it was close. Chris Hardball. It's too many Chris's. There's too many Wolfs. There's too many Rachels. Oh, I mean, it's too many lesbians. It's everywhere.
I'm the only real man left on TV.
I forgot about Lawrence.
Chris Matthews. Out there. Hang up the phone. What are you doing? You're an idiot moron. What are you talking about? I don't know.
Chris Matthews.
Next time. Hardball. Here we go. Politics. Talking politics. Only politics all the time. Politics. Hardball.
The other thing they're saying is, that would this have been news if Trump hadn't addressed it? The motherfucker tweeted 17 tweets about... Like this weekend, 17.
Wow.
Okay. Get another hobby besides golf and tweeting. And golf and tweeting, that's his biography. That's just the name of it should have been.
Golf and tweeting.
And he, so now they're like, would it have been news? People have written books while Obama was in office, George Bush Sr., you know, Ronald Reagan, all these people. And it's like, they just ignore it. And it's like, he does these tweets.
Yeah.
I'll let you read the most important one.
Okay. Actually, throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being, like, really smart. Crooked Hillary Clinton also played these cards very hard and, as everyone knows, went down in flames. I went from very successful businessman to top TV star to president of the United States on my first try. I think that would qualify as not smart, but genius, and a very stable genius at that.
Is he doing very in all caps or what?
There was a very, I went from very successful businessman. That is in all caps.
You are so good at oral and terp that I watched you reading it and I knew that very was in all caps by how you read it. Wow.
That's exactly how
I want someone reading my tweets.
I had a wonderful oral interpretation teacher in college.
I can't remember if it was in high school or college, my first day. I think it was college. I can't remember. It was my very first day.
I mean,
down in front of it. I was like, I'm out. I can't. It's awful. What am I going to be like? And then the wind.
No.
I don't understand. And it's all bullshit.
And I never understood what they were talking about. And the guy was on crutches the whole time.
Like, are you interpreting it? Like, in the way? That's why I hate audiobooks.
Well, I don't even know.
Well, no, yeah, you're reading someone's thing, but I'm saying, what if you're reading a poem? Are you supposed to be
I guess you have
hard
to, like,
if the poem's hard and then you're
right. The wind blew.
now you're doing sound effect. Suddenly you're like, hello. And I'm the worst.
Thank Why God is somebody spinning on my door?
He got it with the glass.
Well, yes. Well, I'm glad. Well, good.
You're so talented, man.
I'm glad that
he's.
I do want to say this, though.
Okay.
He does have a point. I do want to say he does have a point that, not that he's not an idiot, and not that he's a genius, but he did go from businessman to TV star to president of the United States in one try. I mean, he did. And he did just in one try become the president.
And he's successful in areas that people go their whole lives and won't get near.
I can't even
successful as his executive assistant.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you know, listen, and granted he had help and all this shit, but so what? A million people have help.
I think regardless of what the book says, if any, I mean, to call him dumb or illiterate is just
a little extreme.
It's, to me, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's, I'm not just, even going to go there with that shit.
Right.
It's
no, like, he can obviously read. Like, he can read. He's literate.
If you want to tell me he's losing his damn mind, I'm fine with that. Because we know.
You could even tell me older, he's not. You lose your damn maybe mind. You could tell me he's not intuitive, or you could tell me he's like, there's like a.
Oh, yeah. Well,
a smart, like a, or an, you know, like a, an internal, like he doesn't internalize things, he doesn't listen, or
yeah,
he's
all that,
whatever, fine.
That's, but, not being dumb. That's, you know, being rich and being privileged and being an asshole and being a narcissist and being, right, borderline, all that
so
stuff.
So fine. All those things, why aren't you saying those? You know, those things are,
yeah,
true.
Yeah, exactly. But just to be like, I'm going to wrap it up and just, he's dumb. He's a moron.
Well, especially when everyone wants to put a blanket of like, he's a moron. He's like, yeah, we say that out of anger or out of like a irrational,
yeah,
thing to just vent or whatever. But you can't say that somebody who did become the president, and even George W. Bush, like, these people are not,
no,
they're not dumb.
No.
Like, you can, and he's not Ted Nugent. That, yeah, guy is dumb. And I hope he's listening, and I hope he gets killed. And I'm not kidding. I want him to fucking get killed. However, like, that's an idiot. That's a moron. That's a fucking stupid person. However, this, I just don't think, you can't, yeah, just become president of the United States. And I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the thing is to say, he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, motherfucker doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to be president. That goes without saying. Like, but,
Fine.
Yeah, yeah. Right. You know what I mean?
And you could, yeah, say he's ignorant. You could say, yeah, he's, exactly, there's a million, exactly, things to say. Right. That, you know.
All right. So even though it was a fiery and furious shitstorm, we are, yes, now going to go to Fire and Fury Skew.
Fire and Fury Skew.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Now it's time for Brandy and I to ride our teeny bicicleta to skew.
Yay! So like all good and legitimate and important news outlets, we here at Dumb Gay Politics are going to keep talking about the book that set the tone for 2018, Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House.
Kate Casey from the podcast Reality Life suggested that we find someone to review the book for us. It was a great idea for many reasons, but mostly because it meant that we didn't have to read the book ourselves.
So we asked our good friend Anne if she would be our professor for the day. Anne is one of my oldest and best friends. I've mentioned her on the show a million times, and even her husband Mike, who has the same birthday as George Clooney. They have a son named Nicholas that I will happily raise as my own if they ever die in a tragic shark attack or something such as.
Oh, God, that is so beautiful. Not only is she a close part of our family, she is also a good friend to the show. She's one of the original 14 listeners of DGP and a Patreon subscriber. But that's not why we chose her. We chose her because she's hilarious and exceptionally smart and one of the only people we know who could read a 350-page nonfiction book in 24 hours.
So without further fucking ado, let's go to Fire and Fury Skew with our professor for the day, Anne Morris.
Oh, hey, Anne.
Hey,
Anne. Jeez. Wow, what an introduction.
Yeah. Well,
thank you so much.
All true, all true. Let's start very broad, like you're reviewing any other unauthorized biography. I mean, so I know you. You've read a million. You read Betty Ford's. You read the Corey Feldman book. So, like, how was Fire and Fury? Was it good?
In your literary stacked
mind. So let me preface this by saying I read it on my iPhone 6 because you can't get a copy anywhere in any bookstore. So I had to read the Kindle edition, which I don't care for. I prefer an actual physical book. So,
well, thank you for doing that for us.
Is it a six plus or just like a regular six?
No, just a regular
you
six.
You read that book on the six? Oh my
God. In a Hampton Inn last night.
What?
Swanky. You know what? It's very Trumpian. So, I'm glad you were at a hotel.
I have a chip on my shoulder just based on that alone. So my initial assessment is it's not shocking. At all. There's nothing about it. And I think that's maybe what's so scary is he paints such an awful picture, yet none of it's surprising. And none of it's really shocking. But it's very long. It's like 350 pages. Oh. And most of it is about Steve Bannon and Jared and Ivanka and how much they hate each other.
Oh, that is shocking.
That's interesting. You mean how much Steve Bannon...
Like Bannon was the main contributor to this book, the way it reads.
When it first hit the news, like a week ago, I was so hungover from New Year's. I thought Bannon wrote the book, because everything was Bannon, the book, Bannon.
Yeah,
I was
like,
is he the author or what? So he's mainly the guy
really
that...
He was in the mix.
Did he, from reading the book... Did he think that all the shit talking he was doing was off the record? Or
I think he did this after he was kicked out, after he was fired. So what does he have to lose? You know, I mean, nothing in the book. I mean, it basically paints a portrait of the White House being completely inept. The initial premise of this book is explaining that literally no one in the entire Trump campaign, except for Steve Bannon, thought that Trump was going to win the election. Everybody thought he was going to lose, and in their mind, like winning was like being a loser was a winner because he could go on and like do his own Trump network or whatever else he wanted to do. So none of them. That's why we read all these things about people not covering up their tracks, because nobody thought they would ever get investigated, because nobody thought he would ever be in office. And they're coming out and saying that's ridiculous, but I think that is probably the truest statement in the entire book, because nobody was prepared for it. And he didn't want to be the president.
And we've been hearing that since the very first day. We've been hearing rumors that nobody thought he was going to win, that he's stunned and shocked.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they actually said in the book, which I thought was such a funny, and they said it was like the movie The Producers, that they're like, let's do something so fucked up that it's sure to lose, and then it ends up becoming a winner, and everybody's like, now what do we do?
I can't believe we'd never thought of that before about the movie The Producers.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
Only we're living in the Producers.
We're living through Springtime for Hitler. I can't believe it.
Literally,
we are. That's exactly what we're. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's sad and depressing.
Yeah. So they got he got in office, and everybody looked at each other like, what do we do now? Like, but
But Steve Bannon thought that he could win. Steve Bannon was like excited about it.
Yeah, he was the only one, because he was like, you know, if he hits all of those Rust Belt states, right, he's going to do it.
Maybe
they paint a picture where Melania's fully crying, tears of sorrow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Full of sorrow.
Did they ever say in the book that she was or is it on the record that she was like wanting to divorce him?
No. Matter of fact, it says that their relationship is, I guess, fine in a way that they kind of have nothing to do with each other, and they're just completely absentee.
Oh.
But he seems to have, you know, they have a decent relationship, but I don't think there's like love there. I think they just kind of have a transactional relationship.
They're co-parents, basically.
Well, he's not
a parent.
Yeah. Oh God, he has nothing to do with any of his kids.
What about Hope Hicks? Does it mention her?
She's in the book a lot. And what's so interesting about her is at first I thought it was, oh, they're having an affair or something. but he paints, Michael Wolff paints it more like a daughter-father relationship. It's more like Ivanka is the wife and Hope Hicks is the daughter.
Gross.
That is so gross.
And unfortunately, Hope Hicks is also an idiot and is responsible for feeding him all of the information that he won't. So here's a couple of like little tidbits about
Hope Hicks. Sounds like a volleyball player.
And she looks like one, too.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a professional volleyball player.
Doesn't know what she's talking about. So the first thing I noticed reading the book, this is the foreword. They're not even in the beginning of the book yet. He paints a picture of Trump sitting on a couch eating a pint of Haagen-Dazs ice cream in mixed company.
Well, I mean,
like people are walking in and out.
Oh, like, and like, oh,
who does that? Like, who?
That's private.
Does
that's shame
that
eating.
That is literally like that's doing shame a line eating. Of coke. Yeah, off, like,
it's for
the
being in private.
Desk.
That's for being in private.
And I thought, the only people who do that are insane and also children.
Children.
And that's what he is. He's a combination of an insane person with the mentality of a little kid.
Mm.
And I was like, that's all I needed to read. Page IX. And I could have been like, yep, got it.
A fat little kid eating ice cream in front of everyone.
Yeah,
that's something I would have done probably as a toddler.
It's vanilla bean. And then,
is there a lot of stuff about his eating throughout the book?
The other one that they painted a really sad picture of was that he would get in bed and eat a cheeseburger. And on his, he put up three TV screens. So he watches the three TVs constantly and will like sit in his bed and eat cheeseburgers when he's sad. Which is all the time.
I was going to say, that sounds not bad though. It sounds kind of fun.
Yeah. I mean, we've all done it, but we're not president. But he sits there.
That's like when I'm on the road. I feel like that sounds like what happens to me on the road, to be honest with you.
It's a road comic.
Yeah. You know, that's what every comedian's life is like, sitting in a hotel room alone, eating a cheeseburger, watching the fucking TV.
That's what he has, and he calls his friends complaining. But
who does he call? Does it say who he calls?
All of his rich millionaire friends, various friends. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are like a lot of the sources, because I think he just calls people and complains, and they just go like, okay. He's like a martyr.
He's like a Yenta. He's like a Yenta.
Yeah, I've always thought that about him. He's constantly looking for validation. Can I get a witness? And calling up every friend. Like, so someone doesn't answer, next friend. You know, you're that fourth friend on the list. Like, or that friend that calls and goes, do you have Mark's number? Hey, how are you? Happy New Year. Hey, do you have Mark's number? That dick.
Yeah, it's really sad. But he said, so what happens is Hope Hicks, because Donald Trump apparently refuses to read. They don't make it clear if he doesn't know how to read or if he just flat out refuses to read anything.
He has to know how to read.
Well, based on this book, the New Yorker called him a functioning illiterate. Doesn't this book imply that he's a functioning illiterate?
Yes, it does. It does. I mean, he flat out, if you put a piece of paper in front of him, he will not read it. So everything needs to be visual. And Hope Hicks, that we just talked about, one of her jobs is to come in basically with clippings of the day and kind of explain to him what's happening in the news.
Like a storyboard
what
or
happened
what?
To him. But she's an idiot too, so she doesn't even understand the context in which she's supposed to be explaining to him. So that's why a lot of the times when he's like, what's the problem? There's no collusion. He's not getting the actual real stories from anybody because everybody around him is an idiot.
Oh my God. I don't even understand bringing in clippings. Like she's got like Teen Vogue. She's like, okay, cool. So we're going to go over like a tax plan. Taxes are when.
Nobody wants to upset him. Everyone's terrified of upsetting him. They say that you need to be the last person. Everybody kind of jockeyed to be the last person to talk to him in a day because the last thing he would hear would be the thing he'd go with. So if Steve Bannon is like, I think you should do this. And first of all, the author keeps calling them Jervanka throughout the entire book, which I found upsetting. But so it's like
Jervanka.
Jervanka. So if Jervanka wants them to do B, both of them are kind of fighting to see who will go in because normally he'll just go, yeah, let's go with whatever that guy just said because he doesn't care about anything.
Well, what's exactly?
It says the central issue, I wrote this down, the central issue of the Trump presidency. He doesn't process information. He doesn't read. He has no reading comprehension.
God.
He doesn't listen and no attention span. So he's like a
PE teacher.
I mean, that's not even like a child. That's beyond. I mean, children understand. He doesn't seem to have any understanding about ramifications of decision making or lack thereof.
Did they imply that it was because of his age? Because I don't understand how you get that successful with so little tools in the psychological toolbox.
Well, that's the American way, isn't it? I mean, God, how many people are successful without
without an any sort of attention span?
Or being able to read the room?
He has people do it for him. He would leave the rooms when generals would come in, and he'd be like, that's not interesting, and walk out and leave. So basically, the White House is full of people who have to placate him to a degree that's, I think it's beyond a child. We've all been around children.
Like, let's say right before he does a speech, did it go into anything like that? Like, somebody briefs him on what to say, and then he just memorizes salient points, or?
No, he doesn't memorize. He likes to be off the cuff. He thinks he's, as a matter of fact, I found this interesting, which I didn't know is, I remember in the news, remember when the correspondence dinner was coming up and he's like, I'm not doing it. And instead he went off and he did a rally.
Yeah.
He really wanted to do it. He thought he would be awesome. Like, he was like, I think I'd kill it. And they're like, no. But I think the press kind of painted it like he was being a baby about it and didn't want to get made fun of,
right,
which probably is what would have happened. I'm sure he would have had a meltdown, but he wanted to do it.
He wanted to go out there and give his comic stylings like the way Obama did.
Yeah. And he thought, he was like, I'm going to do some improv. Right. He's going to do some standing, and we're going to be into it.
The fake news is here.
He clearly reads off the teleprompter sometimes, so he can read. Yeah. I mean, you're already losing me with the credibility of this author. Like, that's fine. Steve Bannon can talk whatever shit he wants, but like, to sit there and act like the guy's a functioning illiterate is already just too much. It's too much. Like, now every single thing he says in the whole book, I'm shaving off a third of it as he's over exaggerating. Mm.
He paints a grim picture. I mean, he said, I don't know if it's that he can't read. He just refuses to read. And he doesn't like to read. Mm-hmm. And he likes,
and you like to read, which is why you're doing this segment.
I like to read. I didn't like to read this book. It painted such a grim picture. I mean, it was really depressing.
Well, what does this guy say about Jirvanka? What's going on there? Like, what's their actual role with all this?
They're also total idiots. That's the problem. Is everybody you think, well, maybe you know, they're talking some sense into them. No, and what's really sad about it is, it paints everybody.
Does it paint Steve Bannon as an idiot, though? I don't think so, because it's all coming from Steve Bannon.
Not an idiot, but everybody's an opportunist. No one is there to help the president succeed. They're all there to help themselves succeed. And in no way, shape, or form is it ever brought up, like, how are we going to help the people who elected him? It's not even, it's an afterthought. Everybody's in it for themselves. It's
even Mitch McConnell.
Depressing.
I think you're right,
Anne. Can you believe it?
I think fucking Chunky Bannon got the boot. He was like, oh, you want to fuck with the babysitter? Okay, fine. I'm calling up old fucking big lips Michael Wolff, and I'm telling him every single thing. I'm about to become the fucking ghostwriter on this shit, and I'm gonna steer the whole tone, and I'm gonna fuck everybody over, and everybody, and they are all big idiots. I mean, that quote of like, oh, Jared comes in and he's only good with like the good for the Arab stuff, or whatever that quote was.
Barely. They paint him as being, you know, super arrogant. Again, it's nothing that's new. We know all of this. We know Trump's an idiot. We know Ivanka and Jared are arrogant. I mean, Steve Bannon, do I want to listen to him? He's still a Nazi, but it's what he's saying isn't as compelling as what I think he's saying. You know, it's the same. It's the same stuff, but it's a very, very grim picture. But I did get, they did talk about his hair, which I know.
Oh,
the book did. So I did write down that quote, because he talks about how Ivanka would sometimes like make fun of her dad behind his back, because they're all teenage girls. And this is the quote. So it says, she, meaning Ivanka, often described the mechanics behind it to his friends. It's an absolutely clean pate. A contained island after scalp reduction surgery, surrounded by a furry circle of hair around the sides and front, from which all ends are drawn up to meet in the center and then swept back and secured by a stiffening spray. The color, she would point out to comical effect, was from a product called Just for Men. The longer it was left on, the darker it got. Impatience resulted in Trump's orange blonde hair color. So that's what's going on.
Well, we knew it was from the scalp surgery, remember? That's right. And that's why he raped Ivana.
No, because of the facelift. Did the
The scalp.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Fucked with the scalp.
Then he had to and then Linda told us that it was
with Annette.
Yeah, done with Annette. In addition, now we know the stiffening spray, which we all assumed.
The stiffening spray.
I mean, and does it talk about his orange color at all? Like, is that
something? It just said, because it's just for men. He doesn't leave it on.
No, I mean, of the skin.
No, they don't bring that up. But that's, I assume, surprising. That's also impatience.
Yeah,
I know. But yeah, I'm surprised that they don't bring up that no one ever talked about his orange face. I'm shocked. But
well, it's all, they all live in an alternate reality. I don't think he under it, the way Michael paints a picture is Trump doesn't is not living in reality. He doesn't understand why people don't like him. He truly doesn't get what the big deal is when he tweets. He doesn't understand that there's ramifications about, you know, provoking North Korea. He doesn't get it.
Or like calling someone a dog or a garbage.
Or anything. Or he doesn't understand what the problem is, and people are terrified to call him on it. I mean, it's almost like that Twilight Zone with the little kid who everybody's like, you're really good, Anthony, you're really good, because they're afraid that he's going to send him to, like, you know, in the middle of the cornfield. Have you seen that one? No? Felicia?
Twilight Zone, classic. Familiar.
Yeah, I mean, we get it. We get it. Obviously,
people are terrified of him, and he is constantly wanting approval. And the only way people can placate him is by telling him he's great. And if you don't, you're kind of out.
I mean, that's what Anthony Atamanik said about him. Like, he's like, with all of the money, he goes bankrupt and then he just gets more. And it's more like a concept rather than a reality or a tangible thing. It's just all conceptual.
Yeah, he's playing a character almost. I mean, everybody says he just wants to be liked by everybody. Mainstream media. It says he's always calling the New York Times wanting to get interviews done. He keeps thinking that one day someone's going to be like, oh my God, we were so unfair to you. You're actually wonderful.
And do you think that this behavior, I think I might have already asked this, but I don't remember what you said. Is it because, has it been lifelong or is it now an age thing? Like, as far as,
like, it seems like it's lifelong. But at the end of the book, he kind of references a bit that people are worried to the point they keep bringing up 25th Amendment. Now, I don't know if maybe he's always been crazy or they're implying that it's dementia and it's something doing,
like,
you
he's
know,
constantly repeating himself. He doesn't remember that he's told, like everyone's parents. No offense, mom.
I mean, but I do that too.
Yeah. But it's, oh, shit.
You know, I don't know.
And ours is alcohol related.
That could be. I don't know.
But his probably
his is Haagen-Dazs related, I guess. But I don't know.
And what about, do you feel like the author, what was his motivation? Is he just an opportunist too?
I think so. I mean, I think that he started off getting into the White House. I mean, obviously there's no, the place doesn't know how to run. So he just got in, walked around, sat down, listened to stories, and probably just, you know, I think I heard him say this in an interview. He just kind of waited and hung around until somebody was like, what are you doing here? Get out of here. And he got a book out of it. But again, because the president himself, I mean, I don't even like to say the president, God, but he, you know, all the tweets he's doing about this book are now kind of confirming everything that's in the book. It's like, oh, Trump's an idiot that doesn't know what he's doing. He's surrounded himself by idiots. That's, you know, you didn't need 300 pages to tell you that. We read that every day, just in normal life.
Is there anything in it that you, like, absolutely don't believe, or you're just like, bullshit, or not really?
Not real. I mean, it's sad to say that we're living in a world where a tabloid, I mean, it's a tabloid book. It's like an old style, like Kitty Kelly, you know, tabloid book, but none of it is unbelievable. Everything in it makes you go, that's probably true.
Does it mention Omarosa at all?
Ooh.
And like for one line. It's weird how, you know what? There is very little about Don Jr. and Eric. There's very little about
I wonder why.
Melania. I mean, the Melania stuff is like literally a page.
Is it just because that's not who he was around? Was around?
It's not who Steve Bannon was around.
Steve Bannon was around. Yeah, I guess, you know, the
ghostwriter
weren't really in the White House.
So Steve Bannon's around Jaronka.
Constantly, he hated Jared Kushner.
Right.
He hated him. They hated each other.
Yeah.
That was why
they hate each other's guts. Yeah.
And why does Jared, I mean, what is the, why? Why does Steve Bannon hate Jared? Because he's Jewish? Because he's tall? Because he's slim?
Because he's weird and looks like an alien covered in someone else's skin with a strange lady voice, and he's arrogant.
But Steve Bannon looks weird too. Like he ate someone covered and he's in constantly fists. Bleeding and looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about here?
Listen.
I don't know. Maybe they're so similar that they secretly love each other. I don't know.
They're, you know, literally
the president wants because they're family, they felt like they got special permission to do more stuff. And, you know, I think Bannon resented that.
They had a complete difference in policy. So we've gone over this on the show, although we don't ever commit any of it to memory.
Like, one's, you know, a Nazi and one's a Jew. So.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. It comes down to that. It's like they didn't, you know, he didn't like Rancid Pubes and Sean Spicer right. either. Or maybe they all ended up, you know, banding together.
Well, it said Bannon and Pubes kind of teamed up at some point.
Yeah, they did.
I guess
that's
it's
right.
universal that everybody hates Jovanka.
Bannon and Pubes.
And so Bannon and Pubes.
Bannon and Pubes coming down to Vaudeville right down here. Bannon and Pubes. Who can live without the other? Whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they teamed up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to stage right now. Battle of Pubes.
So dumb.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, so everybody hated Jervanka. I love that you hated the name Jervanka, but now we're all just going to do it.
Jervanka.
I can't help it. I can't stop saying it. Oh, and the other thing that he kept saying in the book, he kept using the term diss. He kept being like, Bannon would be dissing Rance Pubis all day. And I'm like, who writes dissing in a book?
Well, they did say, I did try and read the New York Times reviewed the book, and they were so pretentious and so like, the book was horribly written. It's like the book even.
But and concurred with that.
I think it was rushed. It seemed like it was very rushed. I feel like a copywriter could have taken another look at it. Like, it just seemed.
Yeah, they said it's terribly written. It's written like by a kid wrote it or whatever.
It just seemed really rushed, like a lot. Yeah. Like, you know,
it wasn't really pretentious because of that. It was like
there was nothing we didn't know. Oh, I need to go in there, and a real journalist would have had a credential, and with their credentials, they would have known. But of course, they didn't even know Michael Wolff was there. I mean, this is real journalism. It's just like, you know,
it's all about
that.
The journalism,
like, ugh, the journalistic integrity.
The story. The story,
what are we talking about?
They let a guy in and nobody knew he was there
You're
or what
right.
he was doing. I mean, I think that in and of itself speaks
You're
volumes.
Right.
It
You're
does
right.
speak volumes. Exactly. And I do. And
one of us could have wandered in. They would
right.
And that's why the New York Times has their fucking panties in a wall.
Yeah. And I do want to hear the person who got to just wander in and hear that story. I do want to hear that story. I don't care if you have credentials or not. Like a guy walked
in. And I don't
in.
Care if you lied and said you were going to write an amazing, glowing piece and then you didn't do it.
I mean,
good.
I think he said that. He pretty much said, I'm going to write a book and you're the best. And, you know, obviously he's not going to go in and say, oh, I'm going to talk shit about you through the whole book. I mean, it's just staggering to me that, A, he had the access. Even if he didn't have, even if he's lying and he didn't have the carte blanche. I can't believe I just said carte blanche.
Talk about pretentious, Anne. Go, you and the New Yorker.
Well,
go.
You know, according to the Times. But the fact that he even had a minute in there to me, I think is bananas.
Was there any... Any
Trump-annas.
Any Bannon and Pugh.
Sorry,
was there any one like did the book give one? I mean, like, we have to do in the show. I have to do a so there's that. So the fucking one shining light. Was there anything positive?
You know what's positive?
Bannon and Pugh.
I think
that's it. That's what we got out of it.
Yeah, we got a new hit show, Bannon and Pugh, because they're both available. They can do it.
Oh, I guess not. That's a no.
It really paints a pretty grim picture.
And did it say that thing about the poisoning before we let you go?
Oh, yeah, he has a fear of being poisoned. This is what was surprising to me. He paints a picture that he is even more, I mean, it's beyond being mentally disturbed. It's like a combo of, for real, like, it sounds like there is something wrong with him besides just being an arrogant,
narcissistic,
idiot.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like being borderline. It's more than that.
Like he's got like a paranoia. Like someone's gonna poison me, and there's in the walls and eyes.
Yeah,
and
like you do
urine
have
in the bed.
And I've just been seeing on the ads during CNN that a side effect of dementia is paranoid. And I know when the
I watched that commercial.
That commercial's always on.
When he says when my visitors come.
Exactly.
When my visitors come, I don't want my visitors to ruin my time with my family. So I say to my visitors, go away for another time. I'm with my grandchildren.
When I interned at Entertainment Tonight, I had to stay with my great aunt, and she fucking, the very first day, said she was going to call the law on me, and I had to run away in my Toyota Paseo and drive away and be like, I got to go find someone else to stay with before I get the law called on me. And then I had to really ask myself, did I steal something from her?
Right, did I?
Yeah, she heard the visitors come in. The visitors. Yeah, anyway.
So, I think, if you're paranoid and you're not on drugs, you need to take a second.
Yeah.
That's
you know what? Also has reason to be paranoid because everybody, in a way, is out to get him. Nobody wants to help him. He doesn't seem to have any real friends. No one's telling him the truth. He's living in a bizarre reality that isn't real at all. Like,
and he did something with Russia, because I thought that it said He was.
I wouldn't be surprised if this guy didn't even realize that. I'm not even kidding. If I'm sure, there were probably tapes of him colluding, and he's like, "That's, I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
I mean, he seems so far removed from reality that it doesn't surprise me that I think he believes himself when he says those things.
Well, which that's just really great. Well, thank you so much, Anne.
Yeah, really. Thank you.
Thank you, you guys.
And I mean, this was. Thank you for being our teacher today. We learned so much from you. And we're thrilled that we didn't have to read that goddamn book.
I know. That's the main thing. That's the best part.
I mean, it really is.
Especially since it sucked. I was going to be sad if it was good.
I know.
Yeah, on a Kindle, on an iPhone.
On your phone. I would have had to get a magnifying glass
Julie
out.
Kept going, there's an audiobook, and I'm like, who could listen to that big lip motherfucker reading a book?
And then you know I was in the
Even
White House.
And so do I, so watch it.
That's true. Yours are much more attractive than his. Okay, so for those of you out there who like to socially communicate on social media, Anne is all up in that shit. In addition, she lives in the New York area and does stand-up shows all the time. So if that's your town and that's your jam, you should definitely go out and meet her. And tell our 14 listeners where they can find you all over the internet and in real life comedy clubs.
I mean, I'm on Twitter at Anne, @Anne, _Morris, Morris. I really do have 14 followers, like 14 listeners. So, but come on down. Come on down. Even if I get 5 more, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should go on the Patreon, Anne, because they all, you listen to the Patreon every week, but they all like, they're not they all, like maybe 5 good people talk on Patreon, but you know, Pam goes on there, Pam Howard.
Oh.
Yeah. Are you doing stand up in the next week?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. So we can't promote any of that. All right. Well,
if you go on Anne's Facebook or Twitter, you'll see her. You'll see her when she does stand up. Yeah. She does it all the time.
Right.
Maybe I'll do some spoken word from Fire and Fury.
Ooh.
Yeah. I thought you had a gift for Oral and Terp.
Yes.
That's right.
You do.
It'll be great.
I like
it'll
that.
Just be a gun to everyone's head. That'll be the end of it.
An orator gun. Bye, Anne. All right.
Bye, Anne. Love you.
Bye,
Anne.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Now it's time for So There's That. Okay, this is the part of the show where I give Julie the task of finding a So There's That moment in all the bad and upsetting shit that is happening every day. She always hates doing it, but it seems her attitude may have changed slightly in the new year because she wasn't complaining about it nonstop today. Is it a new year, new meow meow, perhaps?
No.
Great.
I was internally complaining.
Okay, good. Well, then I'll look forward to many more weeks of you still fighting it.
All right, well, here's guess what? Lesbo quits Trump administration to run for Democratic Texas congressional seat.
Was that the headline in New York Times? Lesbo quits?
Oh, that would be how I wrote it if I were a journalist.
You should be a copywriter. I know. You should be an editor.
Democrat Gina Ortiz Jones will be the first lesbian, would be.
You know
the
what? First... Gina Ortiz Jones?
Yeah.
That's a lesbian name.
Oh, I mean, she can't get any. You
can't get
any
more lesbian than that. No, Gina.
G-O-J. Goge.
That sounds like a
like a pussy thing.
Yeah, it also sounds like a government department.
Yeah.
You know what? He's the head of the GOJ and they're investigating. She's like, they're investigating the GOJ right now. It's just what's on. It's what's
up. Will she be the first lesbian Iraq war vet and Filipina American to fill a U.S. House seat in Texas?
There's a lot of Filipina les. I don't want to generalize, but it's true, so I'm going to generalize.
I know, it's funny that it's a lot of Jewish les and a lot of Filipina
it's
les.
True.
I don't know what it is, but it is.
It's just strong women who know what they want and
I guess
know what they want pussy in their lips. Hey, Phyllis, I hope you're still listening.
Oh, God. Both my parents have killed themselves. She served on Iraq in the Air Force under George W. Bush. She was an intelligence officer for Obama. And after Trump was elected, she'd been working as a director in the office of the U.S. Trade Division as a representative. But by June of the Trump presidency, she just couldn't do it. She basically was
Gina.
Like, I cannot live in the GOJ anymore, and I gotta go. So she quit, and she decided to run for Congress. She's quoted as saying she couldn't...
Wait, what state?
Texas.
Oh, cool.
She is quoted as saying she couldn't believe the people Trump was putting in their top jobs. But the fact, I like that she put it so succinctly, that they're neither interested in the public or the service. Genius. Exactly. Jones has never run.
That's why she's the head of the GOJ.
And that's why she's last. Joan has never run for office before. And if she wins, she would make history as the first lesbian Iraq war veteran and first generation Filipina American to hold a U.S. House seat in Texas. Her hometown district, Texas 23rd, has also never been represented by a woman. Jones wouldn't have been able to grow up healthy or get an education without the opportunity she got from the federal government, she said. The only reason she could afford college, she added, was that she got a four-year Air Force ROTC scholarship, and it infuriates her to see politicians try to take away those chances for others, as we're going through this whole situation now where, you know, no public education, blah, 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 blah. Talent is universal. Opportunity is not. She said, folks in Congress, they do three things. They create opportunities, they protect opportunities, and they erase opportunities. That's how we have to be thinking about this very plainly. She's like, I like how basically succinct she is.
She's got a good handle on blurbs.
Yeah, it's good. She's good. She's trying to unseat two-term Representative William Hurd. Sounds like turd. So all you liberal Texans have to get out there and vote for this Les.
I wish I knew what area that was, because I can call up some people and make this shit happen for her. I got lots of reach there, right?
Texas 23rd District. I'm sure
it's
easy to find out.
I'll Google it.
She has to beat out three other Democrats in the primary before she gets to the big runoff. But the guy Hurd that she's going up against is known as a good guy type guy, a fun guy.
Oh, everyone in Texas is. They're all good guys.
He's a good guy that rapes. He's like, you know, your George W. type. Like, he's like, I want to have a beer with that guy. Yeah, and that guy's cool.
Good old boy, good old
and
boy,
he's a Republican. And he live streamed a 1,600-mile bipartisan road trip with his pal Beto O'Rourke, a Democrat. And people lived for it. They thought it was so cool that these good guys, you know, Democrat and a Republican, could be friends. And they live streamed their road trip. And they all thought it was so bipartisan and so amazing. And then she... GOJ wants to be like, well, that's cool that they went on a road trip, but let's look at his voting record. He voted 9 times against the Affordable Care Act. He voted for the GOP tax bill. He voted to delay the implementation of smog reduction measures by 8 years, despite 1 in 13 Texans having asthma, with even higher rates in communities of color like his. And it goes on to all the shitty votes he's done, and he's just like super conservative, and he basically just sucks. And in summing it all up,
it stretches from Western San Antonio, that's where my dad was born and raised, and like half my family lives, all the way to El Paso, which is where Ronnie's from. Ronnie's family, I think, is in El Paso, and so is Brian from Throwing Shade. So I got to let them know, say vote G-O-J. For this lesbo. GOJ.
Well, summing it all up, Miss Gina Ortiz Jones really couldn't have said it any better than she does right here. When bipartisanship means two dudes get in a car and help each other get elected, we're all fucking screwed. So there's that. So that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Thank you guys for listening. If you're in Southern California and want to come see us do the podcast live, we're doing it in Santa Barbara this Saturday, January 13th. You can go to nightout.com and look for Dumb Gay Politics on that website for more info and tickets.
We will be at the Brazil Arts Cafe. It's part of No Indoor Voices series. And our special guest is going to be Kimmy D, who runs the No Indoor Voices. You know her. If you want to hear us talk shit about celebrities or TV shows or people we hate, go to patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. It's an hour of fun with no ads and no politics for $1 an episode.
Yes, just do it. We want to continue the conversation with you guys about even gayer, dumber topics. Either way, leave us a review on iTunes if you haven't already, please. And you can send us any messages or comments on Facebook and Twitter or on fucking Instagram, however y'all want to send your comments, girl.
We love the comments. We read them all. And we're very excited to see you on the Patreon.
And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and it's been dumb.
And furiously fiery.
Oh, yeah.
Moronically, authory, novelly, biographically.
Uh-huh, it's all shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kind of whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, because we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast. A dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit. It's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit. It's all shit. I mean, are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanus. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.